Welcome back to the Tater Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I'll remind you that CIUT.FM is a place you can go to donate and support this great station. Throughout the month of June, you would still be part of every contest to win prizes and whatnot. But we know that the main reason you listen is because you like all the great fare, whether it be commentary, interviews, music. CIUT produces great programming and has a large and supportive audience. So just remember that CIUT.FM, go to that site and donate and help us continue our happy work. Again, this is the Tater Report. And there are some developments that we want to make sure we comment on. One of them is that it seems very pertinent to the programming that we do here at the Tater Report is the story of the individual called a journalist who is Belarusian. He was not living in Belarusia. He had made his home in Poland and Lithuania, I believe. He was doing programming against the government of Belarusia, which is his business if he wants to do it. There have been demonstrations, been largely Western-backed, and discussion of whether or not an attempt is being made to create a color revolution in Belarusia. And there's hard feelings and dangerous circumstances in the region. We want to remember that the NATO has moved its forces closer to the borders of Russia, which heightens the importance and danger of matters such as those taking place in Belarusia. But on the matter of the so-called hijacking or kidnapping, et cetera, of this young man, it's being treated here in Canada, the United States, France, as unprecedented and shocking and all such things. This is fairly cynical and dishonest. People seem to have forgotten. Glenn Greenwald is among those who are trying to remind everyone that the president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, I think the year was 2009, was traveling from Moscow to return to Bolivia. The president of Bolivia, in a presidential aircraft, which is everyone understands that's like a sovereign territory, his plane was diverted, told it could not refuel in various places, which it had anticipated it would, and was made to land. Its only choice is Austria. When the plane landed, a gang of Western police, various stripes, came aboard the plane. That's a presidential plane of the president of Bolivia, Evo Morales. He was aboard. It was held there for 10 hours on the ground while a search was made. They said that they were searching the plane, or it seemed to come out. And by the way, talk about cynicism and dirty politics and criminality by the advanced Western democracies. Law and order people, you know, the people who go by rule of law and respect international norms and all that claptrap that they mouth all the time. They didn't acknowledge why all this happened. It happened because the Americans wanted it to happen. Each country, when they were asked why they did what they did, gave a different answer. And then they changed their answers. I don't know that they ever formally acknowledged that it was done because the Americans said to do it. And they were looking for Mr. Snowden. Snowden is an American who had told the world, he thought it was necessary to tell the world, that contrary to claims by the American government, they were in fact spying on practically everybody who takes a breath on the planet, but particularly their own citizens, American citizens. And he had evidence of this. He shared it with Glenn Greenwald. And if you want to know the back story on this, I urge you to please read what Glenn Greenwald is now reminding everybody about. But that was considered honorable, straightforward, and all right to intercept that plane. And it would have been, in the view of all these people who were, as they say, clutching their pearls and pretending to be shocked, that would have been fine, that they would have thrown him into prison and he never would have seen the light of day again. That would be Mr. Snowden. By the way, later, they did, of course, connive at the overthrow of Evo Morales, but Morales has survived that, thanks to Mexico, Argentina, and the masses of the population of Bolivia. So there is nothing extraordinary about this. It can be argued somewhere, but to pretend to be shocked by this matter, when they weren't shocked and didn't say that U.S. planes would no longer be allowed to land in Europe and all that because they had interfered with the president of Bolivia in his travels, and nobody even, didn't even think about such a thing. And that's just because you're dealing with a very powerful country and everybody's afraid of it. And there are no principles involved. None. No principles involved in this at all. The claim is that the president of Belarus is an authoritarian. Okay? Paul Kagame of Rwanda is undoubtedly an authoritarian. There aren't any big demonstrations in the streets. There aren't any little demonstrations in the streets of Rwanda. And Canada can't hug the man enough. And the United States is patting him on the back and giving him money and seeing to it that he's always able to host conferences. I believe the Commonwealth Conference is due up in June. I don't whether that's going forward or not, I don't know, but a privileged status is given to Paul Kagame of Rwanda. Meanwhile, a legal resident of the United States and a citizen of Belgium, Paul Rusesabagina, known to the world as the manager of the Mille Collines or the Hotel Rwanda, Don Cheadle, go and see the movie. That man was kidnapped. He was on a plane destined for Burundi. He was taken, he was put aboard a plane in Dubai, and the plane flew him to Rwanda, where he is not a citizen of Rwanda, he is a citizen of Belgium, and he was illegally transferred there. And what did the Canadian government say when they heard this? And when they were asked, well, what about it? When Belgium was asked, oh, what about it? This man has been kidnapped. And the government there is authoritarian. Not that they say that. It is authoritarian. They claim to care. They do not care. They love authoritarians. So this authoritarian that they loved kidnapped a Rwandan hero who saved 1,200 lives, certainly did as much as anyone else to make sure they were safe. He's kidnapped. And what do they say? They say, oh, we hope he gets a fair trial. We're really interested that he gets a fair trial. I haven't heard them say that about the young man from Belarus. Instead, they say, you shouldn't have done that. He's got to be released, and you're a bad authoritarian. But Paul Kagame, he's not a bad authoritarian. We just hope he gives the person he kidnapped a fair trial. So spare me this hypocrisy, this baloney, that anybody actually has any other objection than a raw political one of trying to score a point on somebody. And it raises also, in my mind, the view of the story of Meng Wanzhou. Canada, Meng Wanzhou has been held now for more than 900 days. The Globe and Mail likes to say that there are two Canadians who are being held in China. They're not being held. They were charged with crimes committed inside China. They're alleged crimes, and they were found guilty of those offenses. Now, one can question all those things. But Meng Wanzhou, she's been held longer, not allowed to return to her family, not allowed to leave her zone. She committed no crime. She is in Canada. Her business was a very important Huawei business featured on Hockey Night in Canada. Very welcome. But Donald Trump wanted her arrested. And she was arrested in Canada by Canadians when she had committed no crime here. And not only did Canada participate, they connived. They didn't phone Canada and say, hey, there's somebody arriving at the airport there, and we think that they're guilty of a crime here. We want you to arrest them. They told them days in advance that they knew she was traveling, which means they were spying on her outside the United States. This is extraterritoriality. And that they, and the Canadians, this is court testimony. Canadian immigration people and police did their own homework and investigations to make sure she was on the plane, because they connived in her arrest. The arrest was carried out at the pleasure of Donald Trump. That's what it was. And she is still more than 900 days held. And I'm going to remind the listeners of the Taylor Report, for 24 hours, maybe 48, Canadians were kind of shocked and looking at each other, because, you know, following Donald Trump's orders was a little embarrassing, and they felt more comfortable following orders. They feel more comfortable following orders from a character like Biden. But in the first 48 hours, people were thrown on television, weren't quite properly vetted. And more than one of them said, what, are we a vessel, a vassal? She hasn't committed any crime here. We are about to destroy a business relationship of huge benefit to Canada, involving research and development, as well as just plain straight up business. We do a lot of business with China. Donald Trump wants, by this act, help himself to destroy Canada's business. And so a few guests said, we shouldn't behave like a vassal. So they solved the problem, media did, by never inviting anyone back who used the word vassal, though it'd be hard to find a more accurate word. So when this subject comes up, I should add one more. The United States practices extraterritoriality. They have taken individuals off the streets of European cities. There was a big case in Italy involving many people, where they simply kidnapped the person off the street in Italy, in Rome, and took them to Guantanamo, where they were, I believe, mistreated. Taking them is mistreating. And nobody said, gee, you know, you ought not to do that. You ought not to be able to fly your planes around. You shouldn't be able to go in and out of countries. And earlier in the show, we were talking to Stephen Gowans. We have this thing about US has these bio labs in other countries. Well, they also had black ops locations. I assume they still do. Poland was one of the places where they had them. This is a place where you could kidnap someone from Rome, fly him to these centers in another European country without any habeas corpus, without anybody saying, hey, who do you have there? What's his name and what's he charged with? No. Just put a sack, you know, sock in his mouth, handcuff him, throw him in a plane and fly him around, question him under another jurisdiction secretly, and then throw him into prison in Guantanamo. That's all part of the little, and that's, I'm giving you the short list. I don't do as much homework as a lot of people. That's all very patently in front of us. None of it involves any interest in democracy, by the way. It all involves exercise in power. So when you look at hear about the Belarusian matter, ask about Evo Morales. And if they don't, and if they thought that was okay, then tell them then they better pipe down any discussion, get control of themselves. And also ask why we follow Donald Trump's lead and now Joe Biden's in case of Meng Wanzhou. Act like a grown-up country, release Meng Wanzhou. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. There's another important issue that has happened now, and that is there's been an election in Syria. And of course, everyone here says, oh, we don't think that's a real election. You know that Western states, the French and the Germans and others, did not allow Syrian nationals to go to their embassies or go to an appropriate, to a consul where they could vote. Because since we've determined that we don't like, when we, NATO, determine that we don't like Syria, then a Syrian national is not permitted to like and participate in an electoral process in that country. I'd say that's a bridge too far. That is, exposes who the Western imperialist states are. They actually interfere in the right of a Syrian to decide whether or not they regard their country and its electoral process as real. We've already determined that for them. So actually, the rest of the world, and this is where all this NATO business and NATO behavior and Five Eyes thinking takes us into isolation, a bitter, ignorant, chauvinistic isolation, where other countries' opinions don't have any bearing. You have to be part of the old colonial system to call yourself democratic. Nobody else is. It's like the joke that the British play with, they're concerned about Hong Kong. The British ruled Hong Kong for 150 years. They captured Hong Kong so against the will of the Chinese people in order to sell opium in China. They did it as drug dealers and for 150 years. And all Hong Kong had was a British governor. And now with owl faces and silly little words, Canadians and Brits talk about how they care about democracy and the advances made by the people of Hong Kong under British rule. They didn't make any advances under British rule. They were under British rule and they had a governor. The governor was never, ever a Chinese. And all the laws on the books were British laws, which said whether you could demonstrate, whether you could have a newspaper, whether you could have a political party would be determined by an Englishman appointed by London. This is where we are with the so-called interest in colonial peoples, former colonial. on the matter of the Syrian elections, I want to quote the president, Hafez al-Assad. I'm sorry, that's his father, Bashir al-Assad. Bashir told us, told the world, very wisely, it's very important. It's the kind of little quotes, little red book stuff from Mao and all that stuff. It should be this quote in everybody's book. Bashar Assad said, when the colonialists signed the papers and said they were leaving Syria, that was the day that they began their plans to return, which is all that's going on now with the support for the terrorists and calls for, as we spoke of earlier with Gowans, call for investigations where the imperialist powers, France, United States, get to go into Syria, determine all the facts, and then, of course, determine whether the government is a criminal government that needs to be overthrown by them. So that's the nightmare that we are living in. And again, I credit that president, and when he says such wise things, and when he shows himself so resilient, you see why the people of Syria are supporting. They were attacked by terrorists, foreign back. They are acting as patriots. There's nothing surprising about their wide support for his presidency, because he's one of the few governments been able to withstand the forces that have been thrown against his country. Most of these governments that the US chooses to remove have been removed. And lastly, on the Palestinians, I don't think we're moving forward very fast, but the ground is moving. But the Joe Biden is trying to take over the issue by initiating talks. If anybody says that, well, Blinken has visited the Middle East, and now there's going to be a meeting of Palestinians and Israelis on the White House lawn, you know, you have lost. But I'm very confident that the Palestinian people, having been through this too many times, are not going to fall for it. And we wish them well. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5. And we'll see you next week.